here's a story from The World.
With the Taliban in control of Afghanistan, international humanitarian groups are gingerly finding their footing. Only a few aid groups still have their doors open in Kabul. Astrid Sletten heads one of those offices. She's the Norwegian Refugee Council's country director, and she's in Kabul. Astrid, what's your situation at the moment? I mean, are you able to go to your office, get in your car, and drive around town and meet with people, or is that just not feasible right now?
The situation is actually not bad. In fact, it's back to where it were a few weeks before Kabul fell, meaning traffic is still horrible and all the shops are open, perhaps with an exception of few beauty shops or fashion shops. And people are going about their business as usual in town. However, the mood is very somber, because a lot of people are asking themselves, you know, what is life going to be like in this new Afghanistan? People are allowed to take out only $200 from their bank account, no matter how much they have on their account, and only once a week. And the queues are like kilometer long.
How about your Afghan colleagues, male or female? Do they feel safe coming to work?
Well, all Afghan male and female staff are coming back to work in the office in Kabul. We may have a couple who are staying at home because their families are not comfortable, but like 98% are back in the office. And we have reopened our field offices in the Kabul informal settlements, meaning where all the IDPs are living in the outskirts of the city.
And IDPs are internally displaced persons.
We have been able to reopen schools in some areas, and there are still areas where Taliban is not allowing our female staff to resume work. And without our female staff, we refuse to open offices and we refuse to resume activities.
We've heard that the offices of some international NGOs have been broken into and trashed and their supplies stolen. How concerned are you about that?
Well, that is very concerning. However, Taliban is reassuring the NGO community that these are criminal elements and that they are in process of getting their functions in place. The Taliban police are even saying to us that even for them, this quick takeover was a surprise. They were expecting a more orderly handover. So they have needed a few weeks to get sorted things out. Yesterday, the chief of the Taliban police told NGOs he was meeting that they even have repossessed some vehicles that criminal elements had stolen and that they realized belonged to NGOs. And they have asked NGOs that if you're missing a vehicle, call this number and we will sort it out and return the vehicles to you. So there's mixed messages.
You mentioned Taliban police. Do you and your staffers interact with Taliban officials and foot soldiers on a daily basis?
We see the foot soldiers driving through town. And yes, I do drive through town and I go to and from the office. And I even go to field locations in Kabul where we have services for internally displaced people. But yesterday we had a meeting with the chief of the Taliban police. And the message was, we want to look after you. We want to make sure you're safe. Tell us what you need. We want NGOs to feel safe. We want you to stay and deliver.
What is the level of need in Afghanistan right now, and what is able to be met by the few groups that are still on the ground there?
First of all, I believe that most of the NGOs who left will soon return. The UN has its air bridge up and running, and I'm expecting a lot of NGOs resuming their work in the weeks to come. But the needs are staggering. It is a catastrophe. Somebody say that it's on the brink of catastrophe. We are full head into it. More than 1 million children are at risk of dying this winter from starvation. 18 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance. The public sector is about to collapse. Who will pay the salaries for public teachers or health workers in clinics and hospitals? These are questions that need to be answered, and they need to be answered fast. The situation is dire in Afghanistan.
What are the most dire needs in terms of humanitarian relief for Afghanistan right now?
Even now, money doesn't help because the market is dwindling due to the failing crops. I mean, 40% of the crops is failing due to the drought. So there is not enough food in country. It needs to come either by airplanes or by land from neighboring countries. If food does not reach Afghanistan, people are going to starve to death and in high numbers. In addition, in a couple of months, the winter will come and there are minus degrees in Kabul and in the northern part of the country. People need shelter. People need blankets. People need winter clothes to themselves and to their children. They need firewood. They need winterization assistance, and they need it before the winter comes.
Astrid, you described the situation in Afghanistan as dire. What's an image that kind of lives with you in terms of what that dire situation really looks like?
Every time the snow comes in November, December, I travel out to the Kabul informal settlements because I then see children running around barefoot or in plastic slippers in slush, in frozen water and snow. People are living under a tarpaulin or with makeshift walls made out of cloth, etc. And it's a good reminder for me why I'm in this line of work and why I continue to work in Afghanistan despite the somewhat cumbersome situation.
I was going to ask, why are you staying put in Kabul?
It's my duty. It's my job. I was actually out of the country when Kabul fell and I managed to get back. And I have no intention of leaving the Afghans behind. Afghanistan needs us more than ever.
Astrid Sletten is in Kabul. She's the country director for the Norwegian Refugee Council. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.